Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. If you are visiting with us, we ask that you take one of the cards in the pew in front of you and fill it out and put it in the offering plate. A lot of things going on. One of the first things I want to talk to you about is the Marshall family will soon be back in the area. They've been gone for a year to Mexico, and they got to come back and do some things such as get their visas updated and all, and they're going to have a fellowship open house for them at Shiloh, and that will be in a couple weeks. So there's things posted out there in the foyer, and this letter will be out there. So if you can be a part of that, I'm sure they'd appreciate seeing you. Okay, let's go through some of the things in our bulletin. There's a family night out being planned in March. And if you'd like to be on the planning committee, get with Kathy or Diane. There's a Thanksgiving food shower for the Baptist Children's Home, and there's a flyer in your bulletin this morning telling you what is needed there, so take part if you can. After our morning service this morning, we have Sunday school for all ages. We invite you to stay and be a part of that. And Tuesday night, Tuesday is vote day, so get out and vote. Pray about it and get out and vote. Wednesday is prayer and Bible study. Thursday's Crusaders, and Saturday, remember to set your clocks back. So we're still needing some socks and underwear. If you can help with that, we'd appreciate it. The harvest offering, which will start next Sunday, the goal is $6,000, and as you can see here, it's going for audiovisual, and what's remaining will go to Emmaus, so help there. A lot of things on the back. Just mark your calendars and take part where you can. Our memory verse for the week comes out of 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And these cards are out in the foyer. Pick one up. And I think that's all I have for you this morning.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here to worship with us this morning, and we hope you've come expecting a blessing. Many of you knew that Melinda spent some time in the hospital this past week over at Lafayette. She was having a little trouble, and she's home now, and she's doing as good as can be expected. You just pray for her. She's kind of weak, but she's doing a whole lot better than she was, and a card or perhaps a phone call at some point would be appreciated, and we're glad that she's home and just doing better, so you can praise the Lord for that. Do you remember when Robert and Allie Cups were here? They are missionaries to the Spanish, and they went to Los Angeles. They started a church out there that is now self-supporting. It's running about 111. They have a full-time pastor. And Robert and Alexandria are actually in Peru and have gone to minister there. And so they have given us some prayer requests for their travel safety and their process of getting in and all the cultural adjustments and then some different things on Esperanza Baptist Church, and we're going to put this on the bulletin board for you so you can see that. Okay? Do you like that? You look really cool through that, and I don't know who these really belong to, but it's a nice pair. Look, it's expandable and everything. Okay? That would fit my fat head. So anyway, here they are. Come get them. Okay? We're glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. Let's bow in prayer now and ask the Lord to minister to us.
October's Pastor Appreciation Month.
And, oh, you know me.
Both of you. Oh. Dale and I were talking this morning, and when Dale and I talk, we're not always up to no good. Sometimes it's something serious. Anyway, this is... it's heavy. It might be gold. I don't know. But anyway, this is from the whole congregation.
Bless your heart.
Whatever you have, whatever. We know that Pastor and Linda are our team. It is Pastor Appreciation, but Linda's part of that team.
Amen.
We just thank them for their service here, and hopefully we'll get presented with a lot more of them if he sticks around. Thank you.
She said to tell you thank you. You know, this is nicely wrapped, but I can see just a little bit. It says New Schofield Study Bible 3. So I'll be anxious to get home and work with that. That's fun. Thank you. We appreciate it. And we are blessed, and it is a team. She thinks of the outline, and then I fill it in. And no. We do work together, though. I'm blessed. Let's pray together. Great God and Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful privilege. Bowing in the presence of our Savior, our Lord, our God, and to worship you as a family together. And Father, thank you for the many, many blessings that you have shared with us in these past days. And we are so grateful to you that we can sing a song about heaven's open door to us. And we thank you for your great love and your great grace and mercy that has made it possible. And we have come this morning to worship, and so we pray that you will help us to do exactly that. And we ask that you and you alone are exalted and honored and glorified. And we pray, our Father, that you will teach us new and wonderful things from your word this morning. Thank you for the great privilege of giving to you our tithes and our offerings. And thank you, too, for all that you have given us, that we may do that very thing. We love you, our Father, and all of this is for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand for the reading of Scripture and remain standing for the next hymn, please? Scripture today is from the book of Revelations, chapter 21, 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of the heavens from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Let's bow in prayer together. Our Father, we thank you for the great privilege of coming before you as a family in worship. And then we thank you for the opportunity to open the word of God and allow you to speak to our hearts through that. And we pray that because we are here this morning, and because we are submissive to what you have for us, that you will literally change our lives. We thank you for the great prospect of heaven. We thank you that you will live with us forever. You will be our God, and we will be your people. And all that we know of conflict and evil and temptation will all be taken away. Oh, Father, what a great day that will be, and what a great time we will have through eternity. Thank you for the great prospect. And now we would just simply ask in these moments that you would speak to us, that you would teach us, you would forever draw us nearer to you and help us to be more inclined to study the great word of God and find the deep truths in it. We love you, and we thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. I haven't read Randy Alcorn's new book on heaven, but I probably will. He does a really good job. And you know, a few months ago, Lee had the devotions for the deacons. Each month, a deacon takes turn bringing the devotions. And Lee brought a devotion on heaven, and he made this statement, which is true. He made a lot of true statements. All of them were true. But he said this: you don't often hear sermons preached about heaven. And I didn't mind that statement. It was a question that followed that kind of shook me a little bit. He said, why is that? We're going to spend forever there. And so I thought, we need to have some sermons on heaven. And so I've got some things scheduled for you. But the question is this: do you think that it'll be boring floating around on clouds playing harps all the time? What do you think we'll be doing in heaven? Actually, we're not going to do that. You know that? We're not going to be floating on clouds playing harps in heaven. Now, there may be harps in heaven, but I'm not real sure there are going to be clouds in heaven, even the white fluffy kind. If somebody asks you, what is heaven like? What does the Bible say about heaven? What would you say? What would you tell them? The Bible talks a lot about heaven and gives us some clues. And it's a very exciting place. And you and I as Christians ought to be excited about going there. Are you? Amen. Amen. I am too. I was talking to a guy one time and I said, are you really excited about going to heaven? He said, yeah, I want to go. But he said, I don't want to go on the next load. And you know what? I'm kind of that same way. I'm ready to go, but I don't mind staying here for as long as the Lord will leave me here. But in my heart, I'm really ready to go. If Jesus came today, it'd be okay with me. Is it okay with you? See? And so I'd like to just talk with you a little bit about heaven today. This is Halloween. It is, in fact, the Satanic New Year. The evil spirits are given more power to do what they do in the underworld, and I just thought that it would be a really good thing that during this day, it's a slap in the teeth to all of the underworld for Christians everywhere to get together and worship God, today particularly. And I think we ought to do all we can every day to slap him in the teeth and make his kingdom look really bad. So today, I want to talk with you a little bit about heaven. And the first thing I want to talk to you about is the biblical designations for heaven. God uses several different terms to talk about heaven. And we'll just look at three of them this morning. The one we'll start with is the kingdom of heaven. Number one is the kingdom of heaven. It is a term, interestingly enough, used only by Matthew, but he uses it very often. And it is defined simply as God ruling throughout the earth. The kingdom of heaven is defined as God ruling throughout the earth. It specifically refers to the messianic kingdom that Christ offered the first time he came to earth. But because of the hardness of hearts, because of unbelief, because of the ultimate rejection of him as Messiah, the kingdom was postponed until he comes the second time. And when he returns the second time, he will establish his kingdom around the world. And David tells us that in that kingdom, he will rule with a rod of iron or an iron fist. Okay? Somebody said, well, that's a dictatorship. It will be perfect in all that it is. But that's how it's going to happen. I just wonder Have you ever thought how much of the blessing of the kingdom of heaven you have postponed in your life because of your rejection or because of your unbelief or because of the stubbornness or hardness of your heart? It would be kind of scary to think about that, wouldn't it? You know what? The first time Jesus came, he offered that kingdom. And I think it's interesting that the incarnation brought not only the king, but it brought the potential of the king's kingdom to us. And we said, no, not yet. And we're still saying that. Now, listen, I want you to think about that. What have I missed because of my own unbelief, my own stubbornness, or my own hard-heartedness in maybe just a little part of my area or a part of my life? Now, the other side of that story is this. And I trust that everyone in this room at some time in your life can say, I can tell you of a specific blessing that God has shared with me in my life. And it's very important to me. I was with some men the other day, and we were talking, and we began to share about very special times, very powerful times in our lives that God has spoken to us. And the only word that we could think to describe that was just blessing that God shares with us in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew talks about the kingdom of heaven quite often. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us what the Christian life looks like when it's lived out. And listen, if you take Ephesians 4 through 6, and you take those principles that Paul gives in there very often, walk worthy, and then the character definitions of patience and all of those other things there, he says, be imitators of God. He says, be submissive to one another. He goes through the family, and he's put on the full armor of God. All of those things, you can take all of those principles and fit them very nicely under the things Jesus talks about, or incorporate them in the things that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is kingdom principles. Those things that Jesus talks about, it says, this is how life looks, or what life looks like in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven, people don't worry about material things. In the kingdom of heaven, now, people worry about laying up treasure in heaven. In the kingdom now, people worry about being happy to be peacemakers, being happy to serve God, being happy to share him. They're happy being ambassadors. Over and over through the parables that Matthew shares with us, Jesus often begins, the kingdom of heaven is like. And then he tells us, beloved, all of those are kingdom principles by which we are to live. And the kingdom of heaven is Christ ruling. And listen, as Christians, you and I get to share some of that now. Don't you think that's just really cool? See? And the degree to which we let God be the sovereign ruler in our lives is the degree to which we experience kingdom principles, kingdom blessings. Now, we're going to talk about this down the road. But you know what? Get into the book of Matthew. And because Matthew's whole point is to say this in the book, Jesus Christ, the man, is the promised Messiah. Jesus is God in the flesh. We're going to spend our Christmas series looking at the life of Joseph that's given there in the first chapter in those few verses. And if you take time to look at it, it just shows you how God ministered to Joseph in his life. And, oh, I got to wait. But you'll, I think you'll enjoy it. I hope you'll enjoy it. Okay? I know I did. Now, God wants us to experience this. And he spent a lot of time looking and sharing with us the kingdoms. Listen, until Christ returns and establishes his kingdom, you and I are obligated by the very nature of our salvation to, number one, learn those principles and live by them in our own personal life. And beloved, as I've said so many times, when you learn a kingdom principle or you learn something about that, the first place you apply it is to you in your own heart. But we are also responsible to advertise the kingdom to everyone around us. And create an interest in the things of God. And you know, beloved, Tuesday, we get to exercise one of the neatest rights of democracy, and that's having a say in who leads us, or so we think. We get to vote and say, we choose these people. And you know what? Listen, God elected you. God personally chose you. Before there was ever a world. And he tells that very clearly in those words in Ephesians 1. And you and I were chosen, why? To be holy and blameless in God's sight. When? Before the world ever began. And Paul tells the Corinthians in his first letter that we're ambassadors. That means representatives of the kingdom. And so one of the things that Jesus did when he came the first time was, he said, my Father expects you to live as citizens of the kingdom. Here are the rules. Here's what it looks like. And you know what? Even when Jesus talks to the Pharisees and he says that they're whitewashed sepulchers, that they look good on the outside, they're hollow on the inside. When he talks to the disciples about the kingdom of heaven being like leaven, it begins tiny and spreads, okay? It works that way in our life. Pardon me. It works that way in our own personal life, but you know what? It's supposed to work that way in the world too. I mean, we're a real small part of the town. But God expects that to permeate. See? Kingdom principles. The kingdom of heaven. And it is a privilege that God has extended to us as his adopted children to be the representatives, to be ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven. And I want you to think about that. Now, the second thing that is used in Scripture is the heavenly places. The kingdom of heaven is one. The heavenly places is another term that's used. Now, you and I have talked about that often. It appears in Ephesians 1:3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Do you understand? Listen, the potential is there for God to withhold nothing from you in the way of spiritual blessing. I like to hunt, and you know that. And I was out last evening just sort of meditating because I think the forest is quiet when the wind calms down. And just about dark, across the field, a buck started coming out of the woods, and he was so big he came out of the woods for 5 minutes. Now, listen, I'm not speaking evangelistically or anything. His rack was that wide. My heart's beating fast now. See? And I said, you know what? A trophy buck like that is what guys like me just dream about, but never really get close enough to do anything about. And I watched him, and he started coming my way, and I think the Lord knew it was too much for my heart. About halfway, he hopped over the fence and went the other way. Are you one who thinks that every spiritual blessing comes out and looks so magnificent to you? And do you think, I'm just the kind of a Christian that dreams about things like that, and I see it work in other people, but it really never ever works for me. You got to stop that. Because those spiritual blessings belong to us in the heavenly places. And God has said, I'm going to take life as it will be in heaven inside and share it with my adopted children. And one of the things that's so neat about that idea of heavenly places is this. Those blessings are shared with us because of our association with Christ now. Heavenly places are what Dave read about out of the Revelation 21 this morning. Heaven is a real place. And it's not here on earth, although the spiritual blessings, the inner emotional attitudes, the governing principles of life are shared with us by a God who says, here's just a taste. And I don't know if you've ever read through chapter 21 and 22 in Revelation. But man, it is something. There's an interesting thing that I just want to share with you real quickly. If you've got your Bibles open to Revelation 21, would you look at verse 15, please? Verse 15. Now, listen, let your imagination go. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city was laid out like a square as long as it is wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length. Now watch, as wide and as high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which is the angel was using. Now listen carefully. Listen. 12,000 stadia is from here to Dallas, Texas. Now listen. That's how big a square the city is. But remember, it's also that high. That's a wall, isn't it? Huh? And listen, that's just Jerusalem. Wow. I want to go. And then he says this. In verse 18, the wall was made of jasper. Do you know what jasper is? Do you? I don't either. But I'll find out. Now watch. It was made of the city of pure as glass. The foundations of the walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, carnelian. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl, The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. Huh? Wow. Now, you're all sitting there because we're not sure what those jewels look like, are we? I don't know if those are just in... We know what an emerald is, don't we? We know what a sapphire is, don't we? We know what gold is, don't we? See, we know what some of this stuff is. But these other things... And it says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each made of a single pearl. I still have trouble imagining the oyster. I mean, I told you the walls are 1,400 miles high. Can you imagine how much sauce it's going to take to eat that rascal? Sanctified imagination, surely you think about things like that. The street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Let me ask you something. Do you want to live in a place like that? Yes. Amen. Boy, I do. I want to go see that. And God has that ready for us. That's what it'll be like all eternity. We'll live there. And I think that's pretty cool. And if you go on and read, you'll discover that you and I, listen, we will not float around on clouds. Now, I don't know for sure. Some may play harps if they want to. I don't know. I know somewhere there's a choir of more than 100 million angels that sing praises to God throughout all eternity. And here's the thing that I want you to understand. I think that you and I are going to live lives similar to those we live here, in that we will have tasks to do, we will have lives in heaven, but we will have lives in heaven in a way that we can't imagine, because our entire life will be with the consuming desire to worship God in all that we do. Whatever it is we do, we will do it with an attitude of worship. And whenever you read about heavenly places in Scripture, that's the concept or the idea. True worship to God throughout all eternity. Okay? And listen, I promise you it'll be a lot more fun than this. And God says, you can get a taste of that because of your association with Christ in the spiritual blessings that I want to share with you now. Now. We don't have to wait to get to heaven to experience those blessings. I personally think God has an eternity of blessings for us and experiences that we've never experienced to this point. Just because God is saying, you have to wait to get here for that. Are you interested? Why? Heaven really is a wonderful place. And God tells us that he's just beginning. He's just showing us what... Like, this is just a taste. Isn't it a delightful taste? Then I want to share with you third, just the word heaven. The word heaven. It's a general term. And it represents the eternal dwelling place of the Godhead. The Godhead. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. The Godhead, the Trinity are both the same thing that mean all three persons of the in which God manifests himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's the eternal dwelling place of God, the angels, and all believers. You and I get to go there. Now, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2 that he was taken into the third heaven. Now, deductive reasoning says that if there's a third heaven, is it deductive reasoning? There's some principle that says if there's a third heaven, there has to be a first and second heaven. In general, most biblical scholars believe the first heaven to be the sky and the atmosphere around us, and the second heaven to be all the rest of creation, or what you and I call outer space. Interesting that we call it outer space, because to God it's all inner space. You know why? Because he surrounds it all. And then the third heaven is the dwelling place of God. It's what we get to read about in Scripture. And the interesting thing is that God says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And in heaven, there's never been sin that lasted very long. Was there sin in heaven? Yes. You read about it in Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, when Satan got the idea that he needed to be worshipped. God said, not here. That ain't happening. See, the new heaven, the new earth, will be completely untouched in any way at any time by sin and ungodliness. Won't that be great? Hey. So it's a nifty place. And the Bible gives us some designations for that, and it's neat to think about. But here's what you need to understand, and that's the second thing, is the biblical demands to enter heaven. The biblical demands to enter heaven. In Revelation 21 and verse 2, John says, I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Okay? See, the Bible is trying to tell us that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And here's what I want you to understand. Now, I've said this before, and I need for you to know this. Why? Because it's terribly important to you. From the second of your salvation until your last breath, God is working in your life to prepare you to live in heaven. You understand? Now listen, the Bible says that when we see him, when we see Christ, we will be like him. Romans 8 tells us that we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 12 tells us not to be conformed or made the same as this world, but be transformed and made different, made like Christ. You and I are being prepared. Now listen, what you and I don't get done here, Christ will have to finish. Okay? So the question is this: how much like your Savior are you willing to let him make you be before you die? How much work is he going to have to do because you wouldn't let him finish it here? Linda Randall sings a song, and I think I've mentioned it to you before. She says, I want to live so close to Jesus here that when he comes to get me, there's no big change. Huh? And you know what? That's a cool song, boy. She bounces along in that. That'll stick in your mind. But the truth of the song ought to stick there too. How much like Christ do you want to be now? You are being prepared to live in heaven. John 14:3 tells us that Jesus is preparing a place for you to live in heaven, a mansion. John 17:24 says that heaven is being made ready, we're there. You can read 1 Corinthians 5:8, Philippians 1:23, and 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Sin caused separation. God knew it, God allowed it, but it's not what God wanted. He didn't want that separation. And I think that it hurt God's heart very much to drive Adam and Eve from the garden. He did not want to drive them out of his presence. At the rapture, for Christians, God is going to end the separation. Huh? He's going to bring us back into fellowship with him, both physically and spiritually. And that's one of the great themes of heaven, is his eternal reuniting of the people and God. And the people will be perfect. The fellowship will be eternal in the very presence of God. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice saying, now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. Huh? Isn't that cool? Hey, let me ask you something. Do you believe God lives with you now? Yes? Can you feel it? Sometimes, right? Now, let me ask you something. Can you imagine seeing it? Huh? Imagine seeing it. Oh, yeah. God. Can you imagine being of an attitude and a lifestyle and a heart to walk up and fellowship with the Lord Jesus? Just whenever you want. I don't know for sure, but I don't think you'll have to make an appointment. God wants us to be in that kind of relationship. But in order for that to happen, two things are necessary. Number one, the first thing is, you and I have to be like Christ in his standing. You and I have to be like Christ in his standing. Or, another way to say it is, we have to be perfectly sinless, perfectly holy. Now listen carefully in case you get discouraged, because that's what Christ took care of on Calvary for you. The entire book of Romans is a great dissertation on that whole story. And how amazing it is that God took us in all of our sinful unrighteousness. And in the instant of our salvation, dressed us in the sinless righteousness of Christ. See? And I so praise God that when he looks at me, even though he sees me as I am, he sees me as I will one day be, already dressed in the righteousness of Christ. And that's why, beloved, all of us who know Christ as Savior have access to the throne. We can go to the throne in the righteousness of Christ because we are in his righteousness. We stand before the throne faultless. Why? Because of what Christ did. Now, listen carefully. You see, that's the truth. That's biblical truth, and you can't argue with it. But the problem comes in when people begin to think, hey, I'm in. What I don't finish, God will take care of. It's done. That's all truth, but that's all really bad thinking, because what you have to remember is this, beloved, and I can't stress this enough, and that is, between here and there is that little thing called the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. And you know what? The more I learn of Scripture and God and the way he works and his hatred of sin and the way sin works, I think that the Bema is going to be unpleasant for a lot of people. Now, we'll get our rewards. There's a good part. But, beloved, listen, in order for that to happen and for you and I to pass through that, I think God is going to take away everything about protection, whatever word you want to use. I think when he shows me my missed opportunities, I'm going to hurt the way his heart hurt when I missed him. I'm going to feel the weight of that and say, this is what you did to me. Not in vengeance, not in anger, but in judgment for me to understand. Now listen. Nowhere in Scripture is there a command that I have to experience that. God gives me the choice to say right now, I have sinned before you. And I can do like David. He says, I confessed my sin before you, and I did not deny it. And you cleansed me from the guilt. You took that burden from me. See, everything I take care of here, honestly, I don't have to deal with there. Huh? So listen, I want to keep a real short list. You and I have to understand our standing is the way it needs to be, but the preparation is continuous, and it is our necessary goal to be as much like Christ as we can, taking advantage of every opportunity. And that's why I holler at you so much, saying, listen, don't put off when God tells you something. Don't put it off. God is trying to help you pass this thing. God is trying to teach. It's those spiritual blessings. It's the heaven part of your Christian life God wants you to experience now. Now. And you know what's encouraging to me? Listen, I know we're not growing by leaps and bounds numerically. But you know what? There are many, many people in this room who have and still continue to grow spiritually in their heart. And beloved, listen to me. I'll take that every day over numbers. You know what? If I had to study just till my brain smoked to minister to people like this on Sunday morning, because I knew all of you knew the Word of God inside out, front, back, from the middle, both ways. That'd be scary. That's what I want. That's what I want for you. Because, see, that's part of this heavenly blessing that I want you to experience. And it is because of your standing that it's possible. And then finally, we have to be like Christ in his state. Christ in his state. And you can read about this in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 42 to the end of the chapter. And here's basically what that says. You and I are going to get new glorified bodies. We have to come into the presence of God for all eternity without any part of sin. And these bodies are sin-wracked. And we're going to be given brand new bodies, physical bodies. And it doesn't tell us a lot about them, but it says here he'll wipe every tear from their eye. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Arthur isn't saved. He don't get to go to heaven. Ain't that wonderful? See, of course, that hurts a leave too. No more arthritis. No more nothing. So we're going to get new physical bodies. Like these? Probably to a great degree. Will we know each other? I believe that with all my heart. Wouldn't it be weird of God and his character to tell us we're all a body here, we're all part of the body of Christ, we're all one. We're all to work together. We're all going to be the bride of Christ to celebrate in heaven. Then we get there, we're strangers. I mean, think about that. Will I recognize Dirk? Yeah, boy, you think he's good looking now? Our eternal home, beloved, our eternal home. The wonder and the blessing of our new standing and our new state being like Christ himself. Listen, listen, if that was all you knew, to know that God looks at me and sees me as he sees his son dressed, he sees me dressed in his son's righteousness, and that's pleasing to him. If that was all you knew, would it be enough to make you walk in humble adoration before him? Would it be enough to say, oh, thank you, God, for doing that? The great and comforting blessing is to think about our eternal home. And beloved, we ought to think about it from time to time. We ought to think about it a lot. We ought to remember, though, there is getting from here to there. And we have responsibility. We have those things that we need to take care of. May God give us the grace and the encouragement to make it our full-time job to be as much like Christ as possible. Amen. Father, apply these truths to our heart and encourage us into the Word. And thank you from the very depths of our heart. Thank you for the anticipation of spending all of eternity with you in a new heaven and a new earth. We pray with John, even so, come quickly. We love you, Father, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.